The church I grew up in, Durand United Church of Christ in Rochester, New York, taught me a lot of things that I value in my ministry. But there's one thing that they could not teach me, were not able to teach me, and I had to learn on my own. But first, talking about the things they did teach me. I grew up there, so I learned when I was younger than Elizabeth, when I learned the Bible stories Sunday school. I learned about hard work. The first job I ever had was shoveling snow around the church and clearing off the fire escape. That I learned a love of Christmas there. That was where I first got involved with the Boy Scouts, with youth group. I learned many, many hymns. As a matter of fact, this past week I was at the General Synod of the United Church of Christ in Cleveland, the national meeting of our church. And at the end of the worship service, the choir sang, "The Lord bless you and keep you," with the sevenfold amen. And it took me back to a moment when I was in third grade. I remember that like it was yesterday. I could sing every part of that ending benediction. Yet the one thing they could not teach with me, I had to find out for myself. The one thing that they could not teach me is how I personally could be sent by Jesus. Where does Jesus send us? For the first 18 years of my life, it was pretty easy. It was like a goldfish swimming in a pond, swimming in a lake, swimming in a bowl. You don't even think about the water that's around you when you're a goldfish. That's just what you live in. That's the society, the environment. And for the first 18 years of my life, I lived only two blocks from the church. So as I walked to church, I knew Mr. and Mrs. Davis over here, and I knew the McCanns over here, and I saw the Caldwells as I was walking to church. And it was no problem for me the first 18 years of my life thinking about ministry in terms of my hometown. If a neighbor needed leaves raked, the youth group was there to do it. If we had to make hospital visits, if someone was sick, it was not uncommon for the pastor to pick up one of my parents and go and visit folks in the hospital. We sang Christmas carols at all the retirement homes. We delivered food to the food bank, but it was very much a neighborhood community sort of thing. It was something that I just didn't think about. It was as easy as breathing. Yet since then, since I grew up and left home in 1990, I've lived in Latrobe. I've lived on the border of Highland Park and East Liberty. I've lived in Leeds in the United Kingdom. I've lived in Hennef, Germany. I've lived in downtown Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And now I've lived in Murraysville. And in each place, there's been a different answer to the question, what is Jesus sending me to do? The answers from my childhood do not fit anymore. What happens now that I'm 43 in Murraysville? In Lebanon, I learned about this very, very profoundly one week. I preached a sermon on this very text, this Mark text of Jesus sending the disciples out, and I really gave it to the folks in downtown Lebanon. I said, look, we have a prime piece of real estate. We are really, really uniquely positioned to get out there and do ministry with our neighborhood. I mean, the church in Lebanon was such a church that there were apartments all around. I mean, you just fell out of the church door and there were apartments all over the place and people living there. There was a neighborhood in which we could minister. It was what we did, what we were called to do. And I gave them a little bit of a tongue lashing, if you will, about not going out enough, that we all came into the church, but we didn't go out very often, that we weren't very much a neighborhood church anymore, that most of us drove in and that we didn't do a very good job of knowing our neighbors. And so I encouraged them to go out. I encouraged them to take some of this gospel and do what Jesus says about going out into the church. And everybody said it was a really good sermon. I felt really proud of myself. I felt great that I'd actually hit a chord with people. Well, then on Wednesday, I picked up that sermon because I was called to go to the retirement home and do a service. And I opened up my Bible, and I had that sermon, and I looked down, and I started this sermon about how, you know, it's time for us to go out and find people and minister to people and go out. And I was talking to people who were in wheelchairs. And I was talking to people who were in walkers. And I was talking to people who had not left that building at all in the past week and a half, 2 weeks. So you can't preach the same sermon in the retirement home that I could in downtown Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And so I've learned that to preach about what we're sent on changes perhaps, I don't know, perhaps daily, but a lot more often than we think. And in what seems to have been a tough couple of months for the United States, for brotherhood and fraternity, I have to ask, what is it that we're sent by Jesus to do as the church? What is it that we're sent by Jesus to do right now in our setting? And I've thought about this a lot. I've seen a lot of my friends, and perhaps this doesn't apply to you if you're not on Facebook or anything like that, but I've seen a lot of my friends arguing with folks about different political things, about different things on Facebook, on strangers' pages on Facebook. And instead of doing that and wanting to be right and winning an argument, I'm wondering if our time wouldn't be better spent picking up the phone and calling someone that I've been estranged from. Not for any particular reason, but just to call and say, you know, I've been thinking about you lately. And I know our relationship hasn't exactly been a good one these last so many years. But I wanted to see if maybe I could repair that bridge a little bit. Instead of looking around and clicking our tongues and saying somebody ought to do something about that, because I know that I'm inundated, and I'm sure you are, with the headlines these days. I saw a headline in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette not too long ago that said food insecurity in Allegheny County for the summer for kids, 45,000 children under the age of 18 are food insecure. When school lets out, and free or reduced lunches are gone for the summer, 45,000 kids are food insecure, which means that they don't know some point in the summer where their next meal is coming from. These are children. These aren't people that are in the workforce. These are people that have parents to take care of them. 45,000 children under the age of 18 are food insecure because of summer, because of the summer break letting them out. Well, just for comparison, Murraysville has about 20,000 in population, 45,000 kids in Allegheny County. And maybe we're sent to do something about that. Maybe we are sent to help find a solution to food insecurity. In the richest nation in the world, maybe Jesus has sent us not to be holy and righteous, but because it's the right thing to do. Jesus sent us into a world that he helped create, that he helped fashion, and he knows how it can be better. He knows that children in America don't have to go to school where the buildings are falling down around them. He knows that the church, with a little bit of elbow grease and work, can be a safe zone for everyone of whatever political persuasion or economic class or race. I was talking after the General Synod this week with a friend about class and race and prejudice, and I overheard this conversation between two of my friends, two of them who are white, and it's kind of important for the story. The sermon at General Synod was a very interesting sermon about how we could indeed be the kind of people that God sends us out to be. And in this conversation that I was part of, but not entirely part of, these two white folks were talking to one another. They were on different sides of an issue, particularly in regards to Trayvon Martin. You remember Trayvon Martin down in Sanford, Florida, who was shot by George Zimmerman, the Neighborhood Watch volunteer. Two sides of the issue, and the one gentleman said to the other, "Have you ever been 17 years old?" "Well, of course I've been 17 years old." And they said, "Did you ever go out at night?" "Yeah, of course I went out at night." "Did you ever go out at night when you were 17? "Yes, I did." "Did you ever go out in the rain at night?" at 17 years old. Yes, I did. Did you ever cut through a housing plan to get where you wanted to go? And then the penny dropped for the guy who was answering the questions. Jesus believes in a world where being an unarmed child out after dark does not get you shot. Jesus believes in a world so much that is peaceful and that is so important that he sends his very best, the disciples that are gathered around him. Jesus believes in us so much that he instructs the disciples to be his healers. It's remarkable what he sends them out to do. Up to this point, we've seen Jesus do all sorts of healings, but we're told in verse 5 of chapter 6 that Jesus says, you're to go and heal the sick. You 12. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read a little bit about the disciples, and those disciples weren't too swift sometimes, right? I don't know if I would want them organized together to put together a Scrabble game, really. But Jesus sends them out and says, you're to be the healers. You're to cure the sick. That's remarkable to me. That's stunning. Jesus believes in his disciples so much that he's telling us that we are to go to Forbes or to UPMC East or Golden Living or William Penn or down one block to somebody who is sick and to say, may I pray for you for healing? Jesus believes in a world where we are called as his disciples to travel light. He says, don't take a lot of stuff that's going to weigh you down. Don't take a lot of stuff that's going to be a target. In contrast to the big money preachers who dress the best and who talk the best and who drive the finest cars, we travel light because money means nothing in the kingdom of God. Money means nothing in the kingdom of God. I often wonder if when we get to heaven, if we'll have to turn out our pockets, like you do, right? Every night before you go to bed, you turn out your pockets. When we get to heaven, will we have to turn out our pockets and turn all that stuff over to Jesus? In the book Made to Stick, they tell a story, the authors tell a story about Melissa Studzinski. And Melissa Studzinski was brought on by Hamburger Helper to help rebrand and remarket Hamburger Helper. There was a big slump in Hamburger Helper being sold. And they had all the demographic research that you could possibly imagine, reams upon reams upon reams of it. They knew exactly how much money people made who bought Hamburger Helper. They knew what kind of jobs they had. They knew all this stuff. And they still weren't able to sell Hamburger Helper. It was going way down in terms of sales. So they sent this Melissa Studzinski out to find out why. They said, whatever you do, try and fix it. So she realized that stuff on a page doesn't mean a whole lot. She really wanted to interview people and wanted to go and see how they used Hamburger Helper and what the issues were on the ground. So she threw away all that demographic research and she went to people who used it. She found customers who used it and watched as they shopped for it, watched as they were making it. And she found out something really interesting. All the demographic research says that you should offer as much variety as possible, that variety is the name of the game, right? You can't just get a cell phone anymore. You have to get AT&T's cell phone, or you have to get Verizon's cell phone, or you have to get Sprint's cell phone, or this cell plan, so on and so forth. One size does not fit all. It's not like in the old days when you could get any kind of Ford you wanted as long as it was black, right? Wasn't that Ford's slogan, the Model T? Now, there's 30 varieties of Hamburger Helper on the shelf. 30 varieties of Hamburger Helper on the shelf, and all the stuff in it, all the pasta and things that are in it are different shapes on the idea that people want variety. Well, when this Melissa Studzinski went and looked at what mothers were doing and putting on Hamburger Helper, they realized that demographically they forgot one really important audience, and that's the toddlers. And toddlers don't like it if the food is shaped funny, right? They like one kind of food. If it's something new, I'm not really interested in that. And mom is not going to buy a new brand of Hamburger Helper, a new flavor, if she's not real sure that the kids are going to eat it, right? So 30 brands doesn't make, they're always going to buy the same one off the shelf because they want to make sure that the kids are going to eat it. So this Melissa Studzinski found out that 35 different varieties of hamburger helper did not help. And that they were to focus on doing just a couple things and doing them really well. What if we as Christian disciples decided that that was what we wanted to do? We decided that tomorrow we were going to make the world better somehow. I don't exactly know what that would be, but we decided that tomorrow I am going to offer love to somebody somehow. That's my mission. I'm not just going to go to Giant Eagle and go shopping, but somehow during this 24 hours, I'm going to make sure that I make the world a little bit better of a place somehow. In my family, we used to have a tradition about walking around money. You ever have this? Walking around money, you never went out of the house without like 20 bucks in case you needed to get a cab or any of that kind of stuff. What if we had Christian walking around money? What if you put some of your money in your wallet and decided the next time somebody needs it, I'm going to make sure that they have it? Whether it's paying for the person behind me in line at Giant Eagle who looks like they might need it, or not for recognition, but maybe just to do it anonymously. But going out and doing that. And if you still have that 20 bucks, if it's getting in there and it's getting all folded up and mashed up and everything, well, how about giving it then to the food bank? Saying, okay, I haven't found anybody yet, but today I'll give it to the food bank. You and I are sent by Jesus because he loves us so much and he has so much hope for us. He has so much confidence in what we can do. And he sends us out, knowing that we can help do the ministry to which he devoted his life and even devoted his death to. You and I are sent out to be active and loving. We're sent by Jesus to finish the work, to complete the ministry that he started 2,000 years ago. Amen.